This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, October 4th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Cases of COVID-19 among children ages 6 to 11 are on the rise in Colorado and remain the highest among any age group, even as the state's overall case rate is decreasing. Kids under age 12 remain the only group still ineligible for vaccination, but Pfizer is going through the final stages of getting its COVID vaccine authorized for kids ages 5 to 11. The Colorado Sun reports as of Friday in Colorado, 829 people were hospitalized with COVID, 78% unvaccinated. Nearly 89% of the state's ICU beds were in use, though not all of them with COVID patients. Rural Americans are dying of COVID at more than twice the rate of urban Americans, a divide health experts say is likely to widen as access to medical care shrinks for a population that tends to be older, sicker, heavier, poorer, and less vaccinated. While the initial surge of COVID deaths skipped over much of rural America, where roughly 15% of Americans live, cases are rising with rural hospitals operating on a razor-thin margin. Kaiser Health News reports patient transfers have also become a problem. The overload of COVID patients in small hospitals has undermined a basic tenet of rural healthcare infrastructure, which is the capability to transfer patients for higher levels of specialty care at regional or urban health centers. Also, there's a nursing shortage in rural areas, which tend to have less money than large hospitals to pay staff. Around 600 rural hospitals in the nation are currently on the brink of bankruptcy. The Colorado Department of Transportation launched a new, easy-to-use version of the CodeTrip website last week. It features a new 511 map that will allow drivers to more safely navigate Colorado roads. While motorists have been using CodeTrip.org for nearly two decades, this update offers new features to help travelers plan routes ahead of time and be prepared for road or lane closures or other adverse road conditions. CDOT says drivers will have an easier time identifying road closures, road conditions, and construction impacts. The CodeTrip Planner app also includes a feature called Tell Me, which enables app users to be hands-free on their route. CDOT launched a new Bustang route last week from Telluride to Grand Junction. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports the Telluride line will support the existing Durango Outrider and add stops in Grand Junction at St. Mary's Medical Center, the Veterans Affairs Medical Center, and the Regional Airport, places that hadn't yet been served by Bustang. The new route will run on weekdays with additional stops in Ridgeway, Placerville, Olathe, Montrose, and Delta. Late last month, environmental activists from 350 Roaring Fork delivered petitions to Glenwood Springs City Hall and Carbondale Town Hall and held small rallies demanding municipal leaders divest public finances from Exxon and Chevron oil and gas bonds in the town's investment portfolios. They're not asking for bonds to be sold tomorrow, rather, once they mature, simply not renewing them. The Soper Sun newspaper reports the community actions were timed to mark the second anniversary of the climate strike initiated by Swedish activist Greta Thunberg after the teenager addressed the United Nations about the climate crisis and called for students around the world to walk out of their classes to call attention to it. Colorado 350 is the state's largest grassroots organization. Their goal is to reduce global emissions of carbon dioxide from 420 to under 350 parts per million of all molecules in the atmosphere. A new state law that took effect Friday aims to help Colorado renters improve their living conditions and avoid evictions. KVNF's Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Fees for late rent will be capped at $50, or up to 5% of a tenant's monthly rent. And landlords cannot start charging fees until rent is late by at least 1 week. The new law also limits when evictions can occur and makes it easier for tenants to take landlords to court over living conditions. Property managers expressed concerns about the changes during debates at the Capitol this spring, but supporters say renters need more protections due to the coronavirus pandemic and the growing threat of evictions. I'm Scott Franz.
Tens of thousands of people attended women's marches for reproductive freedom in D.C., New York, Philly, and other major U.S. cities over the weekend. While not drawing as large numbers, marchers on the Western Slope came with a strong message. Kate Redman attended the march and rally in Grand Junction on Saturday and brings us this story.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
On Saturday, nearly 200 people marched in Grand Junction in support of abortion rights. This was in response to a Texas law that took effect in September banning abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The law also empowers private citizens to sue anyone they believe may have aided or abetted someone getting an abortion after 6 weeks. Under the law, Senate Bill 8, patients themselves cannot be sued for seeking an abortion, but providers and anyone who helps them can. The Supreme Court rejected a request by Texas abortion providers to block the restrictive Texas law. The Supreme Court reconvenes today, and the marches across the country were intended to send a message to the High Court for abortion rights. The rally and march in Grand Junction joined over 650 marches nationwide. The crowd was addressed by Adina Guitares, a 15-year-old high school sophomore.
Many people regard the right to control one's own body as a key moral right. Bodily autonomy is about the right to make decisions over one's own life and future. It is about being empowered to make informed choices. These are universal values. The need for access to a safe abortion should be a fundamental right. I am extremely grateful for the women who fought for my rights before me. We cannot go backwards like Texas. Thank you.
The MC, who goes by the single name of Verda, spoke about the larger picture of reproductive health.
To show and let the Supreme Court know that we do not agree with that Texas law. We do not accept any federal, state, local rollbacks, cuts, or restrictions to our access to quality reproductive health care services, birth control, HIV or AIDS care and prevention, or medically accurate sexuality education.
I asked women in the crowd why they attended. Here is Lisa Houston from Palisade.
I can't believe we're still having to protest our settled constitutional rights 40 years later, 50 years later, whatever it is. It's unbelievable. I think it's important for people to show up physically, to show our support, and for people to visually see how many people support women's rights. There's too much going on. We have to stand up for our rights. I think we need to expand the court.
I also spoke with Mary Kuntz from Grand Junction, who is old enough to remember life before Roe v. Wade, when unsafe abortions maimed and killed women.
This is ridiculous to have men making all the decisions about women's bodies and men not having to pay any price whatsoever. It should be just up to the woman and her spouse, if she has one, her doctor. Those are the only people that should be involved.
There were many young people in the crowd for the march and rally in Grand Junction on Saturday. Here is Aspen from Grand Junction.
I just think that abortions are health care, and we deserve to choose what we want.
For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. It's the Fall Pledge Drive, and you can call right now to show your support for local news, 866-KVNF-NOW or 527-4868. You can give online at kvnf.org. When you do, be sure to type into the notes that you support the Regional Newscast. We're so grateful for all the donations so far this drive, and we're counting on you to keep up the momentum. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.